Hello, it's great to be with you today and thank you for inviting me to share with you on the subject of Sabbath. I know from talking with Elizabeth that you've already started thinking about what Sabbath is as a commandment, what it might look like in practice, and that you're working through John Mark Comer's excellent book, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, in your midweek groups. I'd like to start by reading a few verses from Proverbs chapter 8. I'm going to read verses 22 through to 31 for us. The Lord brought me forth as the first of his works, before his deeds of old. I was appointed from eternity, from the beginning, before the world began. When there were no oceans, I was given birth. When there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains were settled in place, before the hills, I was given birth. Before he made the earth or its fields or any of the dust of the world, I was there when he set the heavens in place, when he marked out the horizon on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above and fixed securely the fountains of the deep, when he gave the sea its boundary so that the waters would not overstep his command, and when he marked out the foundations of the earth. Then I was the craftsman at his side. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in his presence, rejoicing in his whole world and delighting in mankind. I must admit, I find obeying God's command to practice Sabbath a real challenge. Of all the Ten Commandments, I reckon this is the one that I break the most often and struggle with the most frequently. Murder, adultery, stealing, taking the Lord's name in vain. Well, without wanting to blow my own trumpet, I can say that it's not really any that I have a problem with, to be honest with you. Although I guess if I was struggling with them, you'd probably want to report me to the police or, even worse, the Baptist Union. But having a weekly day of rest, well, that is one commandment that I struggle with. The one commandment explicitly designed to bless us. Now that's a weekly challenge. A daily challenge even, if we're serious about Sabbath. Because when we start to take Sabbath seriously, it changes the rest of our week as well. Priorities change. Our daily rhythm changes. I wonder how you're getting on with Sabbath. Have you just skated over this series, generally let it pass you by? Or has it prompted further reflection and conversation at home? Has it challenged you to reconsider what you do on a Sunday? I hope that one of the things that you take away from this series is that what makes Sabbath Sabbath is that it is a day for God. It should be a day where we draw nearer to God rather than a day off from God. And I hope that as you explore Sabbath from different angles, it's opened your eyes to the vast array of possibilities that this can include, rather than bore you into submission and legalism. The American pastor and author Pete Scazzaro calls Sabbath an invitation to see the invisible in the visible. An invitation to see the invisible in the visible. And what he means is that it's a day to see God's presence in our lives and in the world around us. And one of the often overlooked aspects of this that I'd like to focus on today is the place of play as part of Sabbath. What do you think about the idea of God playing? Is that a comforting thought? A disturbing one? Maybe simply something you've never considered before? Now don't get me wrong, I don't think Jesus spends his days in heaven playing FIFA on the Xbox or taking Peter and Paul out for a round of heavenly golf. But we do find evidence of God at play in creation. As God created the world, God played. God delighted. God experimented and enjoyed the earth being brought into existence. When we pause to think about the beauty of creation, it's not only beautiful and diverse and fun for our benefit. I mean, how can it be when so much of it remains hidden to the human eye? The crazy colours and shapes of the creatures deep within our oceans. The birds of paradise performing their incredible displays in the jungle. An elephant's trunk, a giraffe's neck, the duck-billed platypus, for goodness sake. All of these things exist and take place without us doing anything. They don't exist for us. They are simply evidence of God's infinite creativity and extravagance. The theologian Jürgen Moltmann says that we observe God playing when he created the world. And our passage from Proverbs describes wisdom as a person present with God from the beginning, playing in God's presence and delighting as God creates the world. Verse 30 says, I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in his presence, in his whole world, and delighting in humankind. God loves to create. It brings joy and is a way of God displaying his glory. God had no need to create the universe. God is free. God is self-sufficient. So why bother? Well, Moltmann argues that creation is God's way of playing. It's part of who God is. And as humans, created in the image of God, play is woven into the fabric of our very being. We reflect God when we play, when we tap into the joy and freedom that play brings. There's something of God within those moments. Have you ever observed a child at play? Our daughter is 2 and she loves to make up games. And whether that's inventing stories and situations with her Peppa Pig figures or concocting recipes to play in, to make in her play kitchen. Through playing, she experiences joy and she's completely immersed in that moment. And we'd be foolish to underestimate the importance of that in life. And to just write that off as childish or worse still, unbiblical. Remember, it was children who Jesus pointed to as being the role models that we are to emulate if we want to enter the kingdom of heaven. Play elicits joy. And the ultimate source of joy in its purest form is God. One more Moltmann quote for you. He says that, like the creation, our games are an expression of freedom. Have you ever played a board game or computer game? Got yourself so immersed in it that you forgot what was going on around you, that you left behind the burdens that you carry in life, the busyness of the rest of the week. It's almost a way of escaping the responsibilities that we have in life. Playing helps us to escape. It takes us to another place, even though we know it's only a game. It's only temporary. But in those moments, we enjoy the feelings of escapism from those responsibilities and burdens of life. And so when we engage in play during our Sabbath, we are seeking the joy of the Lord and we're conscious it's only temporary. We know we're back to work tomorrow or back to school or back to doing whatever jobs we've got to get on with. But we know that those short glimpses of joy we encounter during Sabbath are a taste of what's to come at the end of history. When God's kingdom comes in all its fullness and we see Jesus face to face. Play gives us a taste of eternity. So why do we all too often dispense with it as we get older? We replace it with seriousness, thinking somehow, oh, well, that must be the correct way. That's the grown-up way of behaving. Now, of course, that's true when you've got an important meeting to attend, or when you're supporting a family who've just lost a loved one. But to dispense with fun, with silliness even, completely, it's not good for us. It denies something of God in whose image we are made. So what about you? Do you know, or should I say, do you remember how to play? Because we all learnt how to play as children. Do you know the truth that there's more to life than work? That there's more to God than sermons and singing and prayer meetings? And I suspect, like the life, that you are, if you haven't learned that already, you are in the process of learning it because you've got Elizabeth as your pastor. How can you foster a culture of play in church life? To make space for play on the Sabbath helps us to learn to trust that Jesus is sovereign over all things. Because play helps us to relax. To stop behaving as if the world is dependent upon us to keep on spinning. And maybe that's something you need to hear today. However important you are to the people around you, whether that's your role at work or to your family, your neighbour, your friends, ultimately it's not you who they need to live. It is Christ and Christ alone. Many of us thrive off of a need to be needed, if we're really honest. But that isn't the way to developing your relationship with Jesus. And it isn't the way to helping the other person in their walk with God either. And this is why a regular, balanced Sabbath is so, so important for all of us. It re-centres our focus upon God and gives us and our lives some perspective. Modelling play can be a wonderful way to share Sabbath with family and friends. Take delight in the life that God has breathed into those closest to you, freeing yourself of the burdens that you carry the other 6 days of the week. So go and build sandcastles with your grandchildren. Laugh over board games. Enjoy an intergenerational game of cricket or rounders over the park after Sunday lunch. In Job 38 verse 7, God tells Job that when he created the world, the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy. God enjoys being God. And we should enjoy God being God. We should enjoy being made in the image of God. If we want to take Sabbath seriously, then we need to play. May God increase your sense of fun and joy as you embrace Sabbath and embrace the playful God. Amen.